Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
Hey, happy Mother's Day. Woo! If you're a mom in the house, you are a champion. I love my mom. She's the best. She's also probably listening to this. She's a bit of a super fan. So if you're listening, Mom, love you. I actually was recently in Australia, so I left her a card, which is her love language, more than presents. And I'm probably the child in the family that's the worst at remembering to do this. So she felt like her love tank was full. But hey, guys, we're in a series called Life. Who's been loving this series? Amazing. Maddie Simmons preached last week. He's one of our worship leaders. And man, he killed it. It was so good. He spoke on being filled to spill. And all of his points rhymed, which I personally loved because it's just easy to remember. But I'm not going to rhyme today. So sorry. If you want a rhyming message, go listen to Matt's on podcast, which you can do. But yeah, it was amazing. But it all came out of the scripture in John 10, verse 10, which says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life, that they may have it more abundantly." How cool is that? That Jesus came to give us life. And we were just back in Australia, a whole bunch of us actually. We went to Presence Conference, which is a C3 conference in Australia. So it was my first time back since I moved here over a year ago. So it was awesome to be back and to be seeing things. And you know when you kind of go back somewhere that you've come from and you start realizing a couple of things that you miss? You know, I'm going to admit, there's a couple of things that I miss. And one of them was the water. Was swimming in the water. I see that hand. Someone else is like, yeah, water. But you know, I missed swimming in the ocean. I missed because we grew up. Like when you grow up in Australia, you grow up swimming. You have swimming lessons because water safety is very important. And so as a kid, all I can remember doing in our spare time was going to swimming training. And you would start off as a kid, you would learn the deep end is bad. Until you're ready. And there were signs everywhere, telling you just how deep it is. And they'd be like, it's deep, don't go this far unless you're in this, this level. And so you'd start off in tadpoles, which is the cute, in the paddling, the cute kitty area. Then you'd go into dolphins, which was awesome. You felt like you really were getting somewhere when you got to dolphins. And it was in the middle part of the pool. And then you get to I think it was a killer whale thing, which was the deep end. So that was the scary section. But when you got there, you had really made it in life. And so you knew that then you were okay. If you fell in the deep end, you'd be okay. And it was always as a kid exciting to kind of go through all the different sections till you got to that stage that you could handle the deep end. So it was always something that was really exciting. But, and when you get in the deep end, if you were to get pushed in the deep end or something, you kind of realize that you're it's fight or flight. You have to you realize how alive you are. And then when when you get pushed in, then you're oh, this is awesome. You're I've never felt so alive. And it's fun. But, then you grow up and then you realize that, man, the deep end is hard work. It's not so fun anymore when you know how to swim, because then you realize you actually have to keep moving to be able to survive the deep end. That it's not just all chill. Back in the shallow end, you could just lie back, you can relax. But in the deep end, you've got to do something. And it takes work. It takes work to be in the deep end. And I think that's life. That life, the deep end represents the struggles, the trials that we go through, the things that we feel like we're out of our depth, that we're out of our comfort zone, and we're out of control. And what used to feel like an achievement in life to get somewhere now is something we quickly run away from because we associate it with death. We associate the deep end with death. But I want to tell you this morning that there is life in the deep end. There is life in the deep end. That's my message title if you're into taking notes. And in Romans 5, verse 3 to 5, it says this: "We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. How cool is that scripture? I love that. And so this morning we're going to dive in, pun intended. We're going to dive right in. And I want to give you three benefits, three reasons to jump in the deep end. So you guys ready? Yeah? All right, first one, the deep makes us strong. In verse 3, it says, we can rejoice too when we find ourselves in the deep end, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And you know, I'm a bit of a like word nerd. Like I love looking at words and just finding the meaning. Because often, you know, you think you know what something means. You're like, yeah, like I know the concept. But like when I just find it really interesting when you look up the word. So the word endurance means this, the fact or power of enduring an unpleasant or difficult process or situation without giving way. It means it produces strength. An unpleasant or difficult process. You know, that would just tell me one thing. That means pain. That means it's painful to produce endurance. And I think that we often try to run away from the pain because it hurts. It hurts. But there is pain that is good for us because it helps produce strength. It helps produce strength. I think that we need to change our vocab to, it's not really the deep end, it's actually the conditioning end. It's the end that we get conditioned because the deep part, yeah, sure, it doesn't actually matter how deep it is. If you're in deep water and you can't touch, it doesn't matter how deep down it goes. It's just deep. But it's actually a conditioning end because it helps us condition ourselves. You know, I like a few years ago, I decided that I wanted to do Tough Mudder. Has anyone ever done Tough Mudder? Know what it is? Oh, I see that hand, those hands. But Tough Mudder is like a Spartan race. It's like a whole bunch of obstacles, and they're all like tough obstacles. So they're, you know, designed to like, you've got to be like definitely in good condition to be able to do it. And so I did it with a whole bunch of people from my gym, and I was like, yeah, this is awesome. Like it's 21 obstacles. So I went on the website and because they have videos of all of them. They're things like, you know, you got to run up this massive half pipe and go through this ice bath and get electrocuted and like all of these like wild kind of things. And I was like, yes, this is so like what I'm ready for. And so I trained, I did like weight training thinking, yeah, this is awesome. I'm going to be able to do every single one of these obstacles. But the thing that I forgot about is that it's also a half marathon. And so it's like 21 kilometers that you have to run. And so I was so focused because the, you know, the big thing that they push is like all these obstacles and like all their marketing is designed like that. So I blame Tough Mudder. But I forgot that I had to run like 21 kilometers. And so I hadn't done any running training. I didn't do any cardio because I was like, yes, I'm just going to focus on weight training. So I thought that I was ready for pain and I thought I'd prepared for this level of pain, but I didn't realize the other stuff was coming until the race day. And not only was it 21 kilometers, but it was also mostly uphill. So I quite literally died running it. And I also realized along the way that there are a lot of other people who hadn't trained properly because there were people running with shin splints and stopped and injured all along the way. And so I eventually made it through the course. But do you know, like, I think that I dealt with one area of pain thinking I was sorted. And I think that's what we do in life, that we often think, you know what, I'm ready for this. Like, I've dealt with this area of pain. I've got it sort of, got it under control. And then something else comes and catches us by surprise. And, you know, when I eventually like made it through, I felt invincible. You know, it's the best feeling when you make it through something. And I was like, yes. And I had all these like, you know, scratches and bruises and things. And they became my trophies, like, you know, because they showed me that I produced some strength. Like I did something I didn't think I was going to be able to do. And that was awesome. But I couldn't walk for 3 days. You know, I was like in pain. It was like, you know, it was really hard. But then when I went back to the gym 3 days later, I was like, yeah, I feel strong. Like, I feel like I'm stronger than I was last week because that's what happens. And there's countless things in my life that I can remember feeling like I was out in the deep and feeling like I was, you know, like out of my depth. And like, I want to be real with you. Like, I felt the fear. Like I've felt the frustration of life. I've felt the pain of loss. Like I've felt, you know, those real things. And I felt alone. I have. But when those feelings come, I found out that there's someone so much greater that I can turn to and that I can rely on that covers all of that. It's God. And he's not once left me to drown. He's not once left me to drown. Like, yes, I felt the pain of building endurance. But there's a difference between the pain of building endurance and the pain of death. And God hasn't called us to have the pain of death. He's called us to have the pain of endurance. And I know that if he's done it for me once, he'll do it again. Because he's not the God of a one-hit wonder. He's the God of doing it again. And so, you know, like, we're going to get real this morning. Like, I have a confession to make. You know, most days of the week, I feel like I'm missing the mark. Or I feel like I'm not doing as well as I could be doing. Or I feel like, you know, life is just like full on and it's messy. And I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm failing at this. Or if I'm doing well at this, I'm not doing well at that. And so I feel like that most days of the week. And, you know, we have pastors that are so real on stage. Like Pastor Sam and Jess are the most real people you'll ever meet. And Pastor Sam often says he's waiting for the real pastor to walk through the doors of our church. And I get that feeling. But you know what I love about that is it gives you guys permission to feel like that. It doesn't mean that, like, when we're going in the deep end, it doesn't mean we won't feel pain. It doesn't mean we won't feel a stretch. So it's okay to feel like that. It's just what do you do with that and who do you rely on when you're feeling like that? And so I get it. Like, there's days that I'm like, man, God, come on. Like, when is it going to be time? Like, when can I just, like, lie on an inflatable swan out on a, like, you know, beautiful island with a cocktail in my hand and just float around? Like, when does that time come in life? Like, you know, is there a season that's just like a season of chill out? Like, just, you know, do nothing. But that season doesn't ever seem to come. And, you know, when do I get a break from growing? That's what I constantly ask God. Like, come on, when is it time for me to, like, just stop growing for a little bit? And Hebrews 10:35 says this, "So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's work. Then you will receive all that he has promised." You know, when you stop developing strength, you plateau. Like if you stop building strength, you actually end up plateauing, and often you end up going backwards. But it says in the Bible that we continue to do God's will. God's plan for us was never that we remain the same. It was always that we keep growing, that we keep stepping into what he's got. He's always got more. God never runs out of stuff. It's not like there's a supply house in heaven that he's like, okay, once I've given you this, you're done. You've got enough. No, he's always wanting to like give us more. And so we have to continue to do his will. Don't continue doing your will and expect to get strength. That's the thing I think we so often do. No, it's God's way that gives us the strength. It's our reliance on God that gives us strength. You know, I think the deep end isn't something that we need a break from. It's something we need a revelation on. We need to get a revelation on what the deep end produces and what it does for us so that we're not trying to keep going back and losing energy to go back to shallow water, but we're actually enduring what happens in the deep end. And if you feel like you're constantly drowning, then I would encourage you to look at where are you getting your strength from? Whose strength are you using? Philippians 4:13 says, "For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. He gives us this strength. You know, whenever I'm stressed and anxious about something, which happens, oh my goodness, happens all the time. And sometimes I'll like work myself into like, you know, like a just moment of stress. And, you know, you have this, like you kind of hit a wall and you're like, man, God, come on. Like life is just hard sometimes. And why isn't this working? And this isn't working. And it just feels so stressful. And then often, like, God's like, well, Chrissy, he's like, whose strength are you doing it in? When I didn't hear you, like, ask me for anything. Because we so often assume that God knows. Like, well, God, you can see. But he's like, no, I'm waiting for you to ask me. I'm waiting for you to rely on me. And so it's, I'm often, like, when I really look at it, if I'm stressed, it's because I'm relying on my own strength. I'm relying on me to be able to fix the problem. But that's not what it calls us to do. The deep makes us strong. And that's the benefit of it. Number two, the deep makes us mature. In verse 4, it says, "And endurance develops strength of character." The test of maturity is actually proven by, is measured by character. That's how we measure maturity. Character is built by obedience, by action. And in James 1:22, it says, "Don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves." We become strong because we're relying on God. But we become mature because we're obedient to Him. You can need something from someone and not be obedient to them. Man, I think every mother in the room right now would know that. Every mother knows. Like, I still need my mom. But like, when I'm a kid, I need my mom. Like, I literally need her. And, you know, we need them for food, we need them for hugs, we need them for transport, for good advice, like for all of those things that you need your mom. And, you know, there's a sense of security and strength which comes from knowing that you need her, from knowing that you're relying on her. But that doesn't mean that we always listen to our moms. Man, my poor mom, I was little Miss Independent growing up. So I wanted to do everything by myself, which for those who know me, probably comes as a massive shock. But you know, I wanted to dress myself. I wanted to do my own homework. I didn't want help with it. I wanted to dictate how my meals would be prepared. I mean, Mum, if you're listening to this, I still don't understand. But I would only want my vegetables raw when I was growing up. So I don't like cooked vegetables. And Mum made a really big deal about like how that was a hassle. I'm not quite sure why it was, because you just don't cook them. But anyway, there's probably a lesson in there for me somewhere on obedience. But the point is, like, I had strength because I could rely on Mum to know that, but I needed her to be able to provide those things. I needed her to provide the clothes that I could tell her what I wanted to wear. I needed her to provide the school fees for the school that I decided that I would do my own homework. And I needed her to provide the food so that I could dictate to her how she would prepare it for me. Like, I needed her. But I didn't become mature until I was obedient to what she was asking me to do. That's how I got maturity. And you know that you can rely on God, but if you aren't obedient, you're swimming in the kids' end. You're swimming in the shallow end of the pool. And I think that there are so many Christians that come to church. Man, they love God. They know the word. They know the theory behind it. It's like when you know the theory behind swimming. But it's not until you're in the deep end that gets tested. And it's not until, you know, they come to church, they do all of this stuff, they know the theory behind God, but it's not until God says, "Can you do this?" And they're like, "Yeah, no. Yeah, I mean, I rely on you and I need you to help me when I'm stuck, but I don't want to do what you say." And that's an immature Christian. That's a Christian that's not growing. And I'm not saying that makes you a bad person, because it doesn't make you a bad person. It just means you're not experiencing all that God has for you. You're not experiencing the growth, because He wants us to keep going from strength to strength. And so we're not experiencing that in fullness. And so maybe like some people just never enter the deep end. And maybe that's something that's going to change today for you, that you're like, "Man, I want to go all in." And I love that our church is a church that lives in the deep end. We do. Pastor Sam and Jess example this so that you would be inspired to be able to do this in your life. You know, last year, we were a four-year-old church and we bought a house. We bought a residential house in downtown Toronto. And now Matthew House benefits from the use of that for refugees, which is incredible. And we've actually paid the house off in full, which is even more incredible. Amazing. And some of you may like hear that story now and you're like, "Oh, that's cool. Like, you guys have got like a bit of money, or like, you know, this is like just all happened." But man, like back when we announced this to the church, this was jumping in the deep end. Like, this was huge for us when we didn't have the money to buy the house. we didn't even have a house. Like, even buying like property in downtown Toronto is tough. And so to be able to even be able to do that exactly where it needed to be was totally a God thing. He came through on it. And I think that there's so many things. Like, we also planted an East Campus, which Pastor Sam and Jess are at today. And back when they, I remember them telling us as a staffing team that this was what they were going to do. And we all smiled when they told us that this was a grand idea, that we should plant an East Campus. And we're like, oh, cool. In our minds, we were freaking out, because that meant, for starters, like, we were like, I don't even know how this is going to work. Like, in a whole bunch of ways. So it was huge for us as a church. It was a big step in the deep end. But we are part of a church, and, you know, our pastors are people that want to constantly be getting us out of our comfort zone. And you know what? God shows up every time. It doesn't mean that we don't feel pain, and it doesn't mean that we don't feel uncomfortable, but it means that, you know, we mature because we go through trials. James 1, verse 2 to 4 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." The thing I love about God is that He will never just throw you into the deep end and be like, cool, see you later. No, that's not who He is. The deep end looks different for everyone, because it's like your version of deep is going to be different to my version of deep, because He wants you to go through the process, and that each time it's going to get a little bit deeper. But He knows you can handle it, and He's right there to help you. So what are you asking? What's He asking you to do right now? What is it? What situation are you in? What trial are you in? Maybe it's not a trial, but maybe He's asking you to stretch. Maybe He's asking you to jump in somewhere that you have felt like would be uncomfortable or makes you feel out of your depth. And for some people in this room, that might just be as simple as being a Connect Group leader. And that may not sound simple to you. That may be like a big step out to be like, I could never lead a group. But maybe that's something that, as we've been announcing it over the last few weeks, you've kind of had this little niggle or this little thought that, oh, maybe? But that might be your thing, to step out and do that. And if it is, like, sign up today. Like, don't wait around for the next time. Just do it. And you'll always do it with a bit of fear. You're always going to do it a little bit afraid, and it's always going to be uncomfortable, but God is in there. And, you know, I still remember the first time. Like, they say public speaking is probably one of the worst fears of most people's lists, right? And it used to be for me, absolutely. And I remember the first time I got asked to speak, like, publicly in front of people. And I'd been, just a few weeks prior, I lived in Sydney, we had our presence conference, which was what a whole bunch of us just went down to visit. And I was music directing, like what Lisa was doing up here on keys, and you give direction to the band. And so I'd already, just 4 weeks before the conference, had been thrown in the deep end to start doing that. Like, it was a skill I hadn't developed before, but my worship pastor was like, yeah, you'll be right. Be awesome. And so I was like, okay, well, I guess I just say yes. Like, I don't really have a choice. So I'm going to say yes. And then while we were at this conference, we had a bunch of pastors and leaders fly in like we did. And there were some people from Singapore there. And someone from their team had must have heard me music directing during the conference. And so we were all chatting afterwards when the conference had finished. And our team were going to Asia to like play at a church there. And so they said, oh, hey, while you guys are in Asia, can Chrissy stay on and do like a whole big seminar for us, like on music directing and worship? And our worship pastor was like, yeah, sure. It should be awesome. I was like, are you kidding me? Because I'd never spoken. Like, if anything, like, I would, like, my hand would like shake, like when I was talking. And that was just so out of my comfort zone. But not just the fact that I had to speak in front of people, but also the content. Because I'd only been doing this for 4 weeks, and they were asking me to come and teach them how to do it. I was like, what? No. So I felt sick the entire week we were in Singapore. I, like, every time I think about it, my stomach would literally like turn. And so the time came for our team to go back to Sydney, because I was staying on to do like these extra few days. I remember being in the hotel lobby, saying goodbye to like my team, because I was literally staying there by myself. And like, I remember crying And they probably thought I was crying because I was sad to see them go. It wasn't the case at all. I was just like, I just felt so alone and so by myself. And I just like was like, that was probably the biggest moment that I felt out of my comfort zone. And I remember going back to the hotel room and I just put some worship music on. I'm like, God, like, what are you doing to me? Like, you have to show up because I don't have anything. Like, I don't have 10 hours worth of stuff to talk about. I don't know what I'm going to do. And so I just, even though I felt like I was going to throw up, I just felt this weird peace as well at the same time. And so they picked me up and we were going into the church and we're going up this elevator and the senior pastor just turned to me and was like, hey, it's great you're here. How long have you been doing this role? Like, and I could already tell the expectation was like on the other side was like at least, you know, like, oh, a couple of years or something. So the color just like drained from my face and I felt the most insecure I've ever felt in my whole life. And I was just like, oh, about 4 weeks. And I could see the look on their faces was not, definitely wasn't the answer they were hoping for. But they were like, oh, great. So I did it. I did the workshop and it was literally like 10 straight hours of like stuff. And look, I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat it and say it was unbelievable because I don't think it was, but it went and I got through it and God was present. It was like a massive step out and it ended up being a great relationship with that church and I actually went back quite a bit. But here's the thing. It's obedience that forms character and maturity. We don't mature in an atmosphere of comfortability. We don't. And I love that we're part of a church that constantly asks us to get uncomfortable. I don't think I ever feel comfortable. And if I do, I know it's that I'm not relying on God anymore, that I'm doing things in my own strength. So get uncomfortable and watch how you mature. And number three, the deep brings us hope. Verse 4, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. The deep end does not bring death, but it brings life. All of this is leading us to hope. And I think we need to switch our thinking because for so long we associate the deep end as being bad, but it actually is the place that we get the most life. And the common denominator for finding life in the deep end is Jesus. It's Jesus. We always find him when we need him. And often, we don't look for Jesus till we need him. The hope is only a whisper away. You can be in the presence of your solution, but be so fixated on fixing the problem yourself that you miss it. I don't know if you've ever lost your car keys in a group of people, but I have, and you know, you're looking around frantically trying to find it. And you know, the more you can't find them, the more frantic you get, because then you get more desperate. And you know, there's people in the room, but they're just looking around. And then finally someone triggers to the fact that you're looking for your car keys. And then they're like, oh, I know where they are. And then they bring them to you and you're like, oh my gosh, you found my car keys. How? Like, I've been looking for these for ages. And all of a sudden it's their fault that you don't have your car keys. But you are so fixated on fixing the problem yourself. You're so fixated on solving it that you actually didn't ask anyone. Has that ever happened to anyone? And I think that that's so often what happens with God. Is that we're so fixated on finding the solution to our problem that we forget God is in the room. He's always in the room. And then suddenly, it's God's fault that we find ourselves in the deep end, tired, that we find ourselves in the deep end, disappointed, that we find ourselves in the deep end, wanting to give up. And he's like, man, I'm right here. I'm right here, been here the whole time. But you were so busy doing your stuff that you actually didn't ask me. Your exhaustion isn't a reflection on who God is. It's a reflection on your obedience. You might be here this morning and maybe you are feeling a bit exhausted and a bit disappointed. You're like, Chrissy, I don't even hear God speak. He speaks through His Word. If you're unsure, open your Bible. Because His Word brings life. It brings hope. And you know, I'm not blaming. If you're feeling tired, man, I know, like, I've been there many times, too many times. So this isn't a blame thing. I just want to point you to hope. I want to point you to Jesus. We have this hope in Jesus. And do you know what's found in the deep end of life? God has given us the Holy Spirit, who the Bible says fills us with love and is our helper. We need to seek hope because there is life in the deep end. The deep makes us strong. The deep makes us mature. And the deep brings us hope.